Mike Swanson. I own a Motorola Droid, and for your ultra-mobile iPhone hate and super Google mega lovers, get ready for the Android Central podcast. Oi!
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It's episode 37 for Thursday, November 4th, 2010. It's November! We're like 2 months away from CES. We're going to start launching just massive, massive, I think, rumors and devices. And that's just a horrible intro. It's a horrible, horrible intro. Because I don't know what we're going to talk about. So we're going to make these guys do it. We got Jerry Hildenbrand from the site here with us.
Howdy, howdy.
Jerry, that's a horrible intro. This is all your fault. I'm blaming you.
Okay, that's fine. I'm a man. I can take it. Blame me. I'll cry when we turn off the podcast.
And we have Mickey Papillon, a.k.a. the Cell Phone Junkie.
Where you can find a real intro to a podcast.
Amen. The best damn intro.
Oh, no, I can't wait to the end. I'm just crying on the inside now.
No, it's a great intro. I don't remember what it is. I haven't listened in a while. What is it? Can you do it for us, Mickey?
I need my three topics.
Oh, that's right.
All right, here we go. You ready for it? I'll just wing it. The Motorola Droid Pro presale starts on November 9th. Android 101, preparation for the daylight savings time switch, and Froyo Eclair continue their dominance. My name is Mickey Papillon.
And I'm Joey Coppice.
I'm Joey.
Here you go.
That's the Cell Phone Junkie, guys. You guys got to go listen to that. And we have Corey Streeter with us from the forums.
Hey, everybody. It's good to be back. I can't top what Mickey did. Sorry.
You come over here with me in this side of the room, and we'll just hold our heads down.
Yeah, a shame.
And I am Phil Nickinson. I am your host for this horrible intro, as well as the rest of the podcast. But we're going to have a blast doing it. And we are here with the live chat room. Hello, chat room. Everybody say hi. We'll wait. There you go. Thank you. That's the chat room, everybody. So if you're not here with us live on Thursday nights, I know we got a lot of new people in the chat room. I'd like to say hi to all you guys. We do this every week. We talk about Android and Android-related stuff. So why don't we do a little bit of that, huh? What did we decide to start with? You want to do 4G or the Droid Pro? Jerry, you decide. It's up to you.
I think we said Droid Pro.
Droid Pro it is. So we broke the news on the launch date. It's actually going to be up for pre-sale on November 9th. The Droid Pro, if you don't remember, it's going to be on Verizon. It's going to be a weird little Android BlackBerry type hybrid. Everybody calls it a BlackBerry keyboard. I call it an old Moto Q9H keyboard. But it's going to be a full QWERTY keyboard in the front of the thing with a touchscreen. The only real issue I have with it is the screen resolution, and I'm getting over it. It's 320 by 480, not 480 by 800 like we're used to on the high-res screens, but I can live with it. Jerry and I have been testing some mid-level devices over the past couple weeks. And I've got, if you haven't seen the HTC Wildfire little mini review I did, that one is 320 by 240, and it's pretty much unusable for anything like images and text, of which there are a lot in Android, so that makes a big difference. The Samsung Transform is 320 by 480, and that's a little more usable, so I can work a little better with that. I don't know. It's going to take some getting used to. Mickey, you're a BlackBerry guy. I mean, are you at all excited about the Droid Pro? It's a world phone, too, so we can take it outside the country and it'll work.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. In fact, if I had a way to upgrade my Verizon line, I would be all over this one. When we were at the CTIA last month, this was the first thing, as soon as the show floor opened, that I wanted to go see, just because I was really excited about seeing a keyboard like this, because I love the front-facing portrait orientation. And so this was the device for me. And once I got to it, you play it with the 1 gigahertz processor and the camera is pretty decent on it. It just feels right for someone who's coming from a BlackBerry. It's, a lot of the things that you get from an Android device with a form factor that's familiar to you, I think this is going to be big news.
What do you think, Corey? You're a Verizon guy. And you travel a lot. Is the global factor a thing for you?
Not really. I think it's a really cool phone. I'm not crazy about the screen, but yeah. Specs-wise, I think it looks pretty good otherwise. I'm pretty excited that they're doing, hopefully they continue doing this, with sort of the ability to pre-order before it launches in the store and get your hands on it a little early. I think that's kind of that's better than some of the other phones they've released in the past.
Yeah, so you can pre-order on the 9th, Launch day is actually the 18th. It'll start shipping around the 10th or the 11th. They weren't exact on that. And then later today, actually, we got the leak. I think Engadget got it separately, too. So it's pretty well confirmed. $179 on contract and rebate. It's going to be $100 rebate. So if you're buying it on a two-year contract, you're going to pay $379 up front and then get $100, probably one of those gift cards. I hate that. I really hate that. Maybe Verizon will have, or not Verizon, Best Buy will have this. And, you know, they always do the rebates as you purchase, so that would be nice. I'm tempted to go the 1 year route, you know, so it's $349 and you'd pay, you know, $450 up front. But then you're only tied in for 1 year. I don't know. Outright's going to be about $500 total. You know, it's $479.99. Decent price, I guess. The screen still worries me, but the thing's got a 1 gigahertz processor. It's going to fly on this low res screen. Oh, it's not low res,
yep,
but mid res, yep, screen. I really am interested to see how it goes. I can't wait to get a front-facing QWERTY keyboard back. Really, really can't wait.
One thing I think you should do, and everybody else too, if you still got that little HTC B or whatever it would be named, start putting all your favorite applications on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding a lot that my device doesn't meet the minimum requirements because of the screen size.
And that reminds me, I don't know what was going on with the connection on the Transform today, but I was loading Angry Birds up to see if it would run on this 320 by 480 screen. Let's find out, shall we?
Yeah.
You guys podcast without me. I'm playing Angry Birds.
Yeah, well, I got stuck when I tried to put a Firefox 4 on the little Optimus.
Woo!
Hey, that little Optimus, that's one of the fastest phones I have here in this house now.
All right, well, let's talk about that.
And the people from LG told us that this phone will probably be a little bit faster than the carrier phones in the U.S., mm-hmm, but I wasn't expecting this.
This is basically like the Optimus T and the Optimus S, only it's not. It's the Optimus 1. It's the European version.
No branding or anything, yeah.
Right, right.
And it screams. It's just as fast as everything that I use it for is the Nexus or the Evo or the Mesmerize. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised. Love the little phone. Either I'm going to try to buy an unlocked one and use it on T-Mobile, or I'll be at Sprint Sunday picking up the S. That's how much I like it.
Segway!
Exactly. You've taught me well.
The LG Optimus S will be available on Sprint on Sunday. And that's kind of all we had. How much is that? Is that the $50 phone? $30?
I think so.
Yeah, it's not much. I know everybody's doing like a race to the bottom on pricing of these mid-level phones now, but I worry that it's going to get Android a bad name.
This one won't, I promise.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The Sprint version has the Sprint launcher on it, the Sprint ID launcher, and doesn't have the Optimus launcher, which I love. When I used the Optimus Z, I thought it was awesome. I think it's going to make a little bit of a difference.
Well, and the cat will be out of the bag Monday once they hit the stores at Sprint. I've already got the Optimus One rooted and pretty well worked over. I just don't want to say anything and give anybody any chance to plug a wide open hole.
They're not going to update it before Sunday.
They did the Aeris, man. Did the Aeris right at the last minute, and now I'm paranoid. So you Sprint ID can probably go bye-byes very easily.
All right, for the record,
if you don't like it.
For the record, Angry Birds will run on the Samsung Transform, just not very fast.
Cool.
It looks up.
I like the Transform. I thought that was a great mid-level device. And you're talking about this race to the bottom. I don't think it's going to give Android a bad name. In fact, I think you look at the number of devices that are being sold now with the OS on it, and it's truly becoming the commodity operating system. This is just what is going to be on phones going forward. I mean, it's free. You've got a lot of developer support for it, and yeah, you've got some issues with screen resolutions and whatnot, but the apps that matter are going to be functional on no matter what it is. So I don't see it as a problem. In fact, I see it as you may have some devices that don't function as quickly or as fluidly as you may want or what you would expect, but you're also talking about people that aren't looking to buy the BMWs and Mercedes. They're looking to buy the Hondas and the Toyotas because they need something that's solid and runs well. It doesn't have to go 150 miles an hour, but it needs to get the job done and they can have some fun with it. And so I totally like that they're, you know, folks like Sprint are releasing, you know, three mid-range devices all under $150. It's just, it makes all the sense in the world for their customer base.
Verizon's doing it too, right? Verizon's got the Continuum. It's got, does it have one of the Optimus phones? I don't think it does. It's got the Vortex.
No, it has an LG.
Yeah, the Vortex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a different resolution, so I don't think it's an Optimus phone.
The Motorola Citrus. Yeah, I'm not sure, and that goes into another leak we just had today. We've seen a whole bunch of those comparison charts come out, and we got one today with the Citrus and the Vortex, and it has both of them at 320 by 240. God, I hope not, because that's really tough on the eyes. The video I did with the Wildfire, I'm not sure it does it justice. It's almost impossible to read text on that screen. Somebody mentioned in the chat room that, yeah, my beloved Q9H was 320 by 240. It was a much, much different operating system, though. And I'm not sure about the pixel density either, actually. Yeah, it's getting diluted. It's getting watered down. And that's a concern. You have your differentiators like the Droid brand and, you know, any HTC phone just about, although the Wildfire is an HTC phone too. It's going to be interesting to see where we are in 6 months, I think. You know, predictions, what, CES, we're going to see a whole bunch of tablets, right? I think we're all expecting that.
Yeah.
Mobile World Congress, we'll probably get more phones. And think back to MWC last year. This actually goes into one of the questions we have in the, I forget if it's an email or voicemail. But, you know, like MWC, we got a whole bunch of European and Asian phones that we got to see. And then we get iterations of them here or vice versa. It's, I don't know. I think we have good stuff coming. I think we probably have dual core. I think Tegra 2 is going to be in a lot of these tablets. You know, NVIDIA's having their big thing at CES. But yeah, we're getting watered down. It worries me a little.
At the same time, don't you think if you're a developer, it's pretty cool to know that almost every phone, when you walk into the store now, almost every phone, regardless of the price range, is running Android.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. I don't know, Phil. I know what you mean by watered down, but I think that's the wrong view of it. I think you have to look at dominance, and that's more of what it is. It's that, you know, this is creeping from high-end devices and, you know, devices that are only in reach for certain people to, we've got tiered pricing for data plans now. You've got pricing on handsets that is approachable for most people. And the fact is, you don't have more than, I think, 20% smartphone market share right now in the U.S. So if you want to get more devices out to people, you can't just sell the $200, you know, high-end, top-of-the-line smartphone in order to expand the operating system. Now, I think that's what Google is looking to do. They're looking to provide something that everybody can use, and they've done a pretty good job with it so far, and the manufacturers are responding.
I agree. You know, they're throwing it out there to make it more attractive to use Android than some crummy proprietary Java operating system. And, you know, as long as it runs good, I don't see any problem with it, but I've been known to eat those words before.
Well, it's a single market. You know, it'll become very familiar to everyone. So if they switch phones or they upgrade to something bigger or better, you know, it's not something that will be unfamiliar to the average consumer once they do that.
And actually, that's something that I think most normal people on it, and I will call anyone who's not listening to this podcast normal. You know, I've got 12 phones here and I'm signed into all of them, but you're familiar with all of them. You know, I have no problem jumping between one and the other. Email just works. Apps still just work. And the fact that I can use the same apps that I paid for on 12 different phones is very gracious of Google, I think, as well as the developers. You know, not that many people out there have, you know, 2 and 3 and 5 phones, but it's nice that they haven't shut that down.
And people do switch phones. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. The average consumer, I don't know, what do you keep a phone for, 1 or 2 years? I guess as long as your contract specifies. And then you go to a new phone and you can just use the same app again without paying for it. That's pretty cool. You know, it's not something some of the other phone manufacturers can say.
And I think
you can bring a 99-cent ringtone from one phone to another in most cases.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. No, I think that's what bothers me about seeing these $30 and $40 phones, Android phones, that you're locked in for 2 years, right? That bugs me. that you got some, I hate to say crappy phone, but some phone that's not a high-end phone that you're, you know, giving 2 years of your contract life for.
But you're, yeah. you've got to realize that people are not willing to spend more than $50.
I know.
So I have friends that still are carrying around their old Nokia phones, you know, or, you know, for them, a smartphone is just being able to text and do maybe a little bit of basic web surfing. So I think there's a phone out there for everybody. It may not fit you and I, but I think it's a pretty good thing that they're expanding into all these different categories.
Let's move
That's
on.
My two cents.
Let's move on, I think, to this 4G stuff. The MyTouch 4G from T-Mobile and HTC is out there now. Dieter's got it down in Miami, so he's going to do our review, which is very nice of him. Thank you, boss. And he likes it. He and I were talking about it yesterday. I mean, it's a good solid phone. It's an HTC phone, right? So obviously, you kind of know what you're getting. Jerry and I were talking about this yesterday. I'm excited to see the contact charging back on it. So you've got the three little gold contacts on the side, like we have on the Nexus One. And there obviously will be some sort of dock at some point that it just sits in. And I really, really love that about the Nexus One. I can't believe more people didn't get into that.
Maybe they'll make a MyTouch 2G just for you.
No. All right, so let's talk about 4G data. So the other night, T-Mobile sends out the press release saying, oh, by the way, our HSPA Plus data is 4G. Now, traditionally, when we thought of 4G, we thought of LTE and we thought of WiMAX. And we talked a little bit about this last week. And Mickey understands this stuff better than anybody. So, Mickey, just up or down, is it right or wrong that T-Mobile is calling their high-speed data 4G?
Technically, it's wrong. In marketing speak, it's absolutely fine. It's not going to matter to the general consumer. Those of us who realize the ins and outs, the technical side of it, realize that the ITC is, or the ITU has come out and said, okay, here's the definition of it. This is what it really should be. And this is how it's defined. But no one's going to think about it that way. It's a device that runs much faster than the phone that I have right now. And so I think it's fine that T-Mobile's doing it. And in the same vein that I think it's fine that Sprint does it.
I'm afraid it's going to backfire on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fast now with five people per square mile using it. But the bigger deal they make about it, the more people they get on those towers, the lower the speed's going to get.
You have to realize, though, they're the number four carrier. They're not going to see a mass exodus of people jump over to T-Mobile just to get the MyTouch. It's not going to happen. They're going to keep bumping along at their 40 million or whatever, you know, subscribers that they have, and it's just going to be whatever. They can roll this thing out. They're not going to be the carrier that's going to get a device to just absolutely choke a network. And it's going to be, I don't agree with that at all. I think it's going to only go up from here because they did it right. They invested in the technology late in the game. They got a good deal on it. And so they could put more money into what matters. And that's creating, a well built out network and one that's got the throughput that's needed. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line. The backhaul side is what's a big deal now. I mean, your phone can get the data to the tower at, 10 or 15 megabits per second, and then it pokes along at 800 kilobits per second because you've got another 100 people on your tower with you. And I think they're investing where they need to invest.
Well, and right now, just about everybody says it's fast as hell, right? I mean, they're seeing 5, 6, 7 megabits a second, and that's just ridiculous for a smartphone. I don't know. T-Mobile came out with this ad at the same time. They released it on YouTube, and you've seen it on TV by now, I guess. So you have the girl who kind of looks like Catherine Zeta-Jones, but isn't. And then they're playing off
the Isn't that wild?
Yeah. It's a little too cute for them. And then they're playing off the Mac and PC commercials, which I really think is just a bad idea. I think people are tired of those, and Apple killed them off at the right time. But they're taking a shot, not so much at the iPhone, but at AT&T, which I understand. I think what they're trying to do is just get, the marketing drama started, and you're already seeing it with other websites. They're starting, 4G wars and stuff. And, I'm all for getting used by marketing and PR because that's the game and that's the way it works. But, at least try to be a little subtle about it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too jaded.
But have you seen they're fighting on Facebook now?
Yeah,
T-Mobile and AT&T are fighting at each other. That just shocked me.
Doesn't surprise me at all, because every time they do that, some other blog writes about it, and then there's both names in the headline. That's exactly what they want. That's all they want. You know what? I got 40 phones to review. I'm old. I'm jaded. I'm sorry.
I mean, well, here's the thing. What's going to happen that makes this a big deal? AT&T is going to come out with an upgrade to their 3G network. Verizon's going to announce a new network, an LTE network, that now we know is, by definition, not a 4G network either. So what does it matter? Exactly. Let's just let all of them say our next generation our next generation network, the next iteration of the network we're putting out is what we're going to call 4G. You know, we'll see if someone will call something 5G before there's even a realistic 4G network out there. And for crying out loud, we're talking about gigabit networks here. I mean, we're not talking about it for 4G. You know, it's the whole 640K is enough for everybody comment. But why do you need more than a gigabit ever on a mobile line? How is that going to be useful to the average consumer?
And AT&T's
already the average consumer.
No, go ahead, Corey.
I was just going to say, do you think the average consumer even cares about this? No. I mean, they just want a fast phone that works well.
Exactly. HSPA, no. What? Jeez, it took me like 6 months to memorize that. I still get it wrong.
It was. It's funny that you mentioned that. I had a comment on our show this weekend. Someone said they were asking a question about the tying in a Nokia device onto T-Mobile's HSPA Plus network, and it was like, I know that T-Mobile has the it was like one of those comments where they're like trying to think of it, and then finally like HSPA, no, doesn't matter. We're not going down that route, and T-Mobile's not going to do that. That's why they're saying we have a 4G network. It's better than the 3G. There's one more G. You like the more G's, don't you? Buy
give
this
me
phone
the
G's.
Now.
It goes to 11. But then AT&T came back today and said, oh, well, you know, we have 180 million people on HSPA already. Well, yes. But, I mean, it's just a big mess. And it's marketing crap. And anyone who is, I'm a journalist. I'm sorry. I've had to deal with marketing too long.
Well, and you're right. It is marketing. Yeah. And I think T-Mobile is doing exactly what they should be doing.
Yeah, and they are. It doesn't mean I like it. At all.
Okay, someone just asked a question, and I need to answer this here. So someone asked, what makes 4G? We talked about it last week, but for purposes of what the ITU says, and the ITU is the International Telecommunications Union, okay? And they say that 4G networks are those that in low mobility situations, so in fixed situations, you've got a 1 gigabit per second speed. In high mobility situations, so like as an example, traveling down the road, it's got to have a 100 megabit per second rating. So that is what is going to officially define 4G. Just so you know, so that's why it's like, okay, really, are we going to see a 1 gigabit per second fixed wireless network? That's a ways off, and we need a technology that can actually support that, and we're not going to see that. With LTE. LTE is a max of, 250 megabit per second, I think. So it's still in the works.
I'm not going to get sucked into the whole back and forth. That's kind of my whole point. Not enough.
Yeah, I mean, I've got an Evo. I live somewhere where I won't have anything faster than what I have for a while. But when I go downtown and I can use 4G, oh, it's fast. I don't care what you want to call it. It's fast. I like it. So I can see, why make it less confusing and everybody's going to be happier.
Well, and not to beat a dead horse, but again, these claims of we're the largest network, congratulations. But you know what? I'm only in one place at one time. It's like I live in a hurricane area. So people freak out anytime there's a hurricane anywhere. And it's like, you know what? I only worry about the one that's coming at me. The others don't matter. And, sorry to take that tunnel view, but if I don't have 4G where I live, then it doesn't matter. I don't even have T-Mobile 3G where I live. So I'm going to care for the rest of the world. That's my job. I understand that. But, you know, don't tell me you have the largest network, because that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter to the guy in Boise who doesn't have it, you know, who doesn't even have 3G. And I bet they have T-Mobile 3G in Boise, and I don't hear. I'm just saying.
Well, especially doesn't matter when they're all saying it. I mean, it's like the consumer doesn't know who's telling the truth anymore.
None of them.
And that's a good point.
We've got the most reliable. You've got America's largest. You've got America's largest 4G. You've got America's first 4G. I'm trying to think of what other claims have been made. I mean,
one of them, the fastest. We've heard that kicked around.
Oh, yeah. AT&T. Yes. The fastest 3G network.
You know, I don't think anybody believes any of that anymore, because it's like it all sounds the same. They're all saying it.
Plus, they don't care. Again, they don't care.
And to Phil's point, it only matters where you're using your phone, mm-hmm. right? I don't care how New York is or anywhere else. I just care about where I live.
That's why I'm kind of excited about LTE, because it's going to be in airports. It's going to be in all the major cities I go to. So that'll be good enough for me.
And West Virginia.
In West Virginia. Jerry's excited about that, I know. All right, let's move on. On Monday, we've got the Samsung Continuum announcement. Anybody excited about that? Nobody?
Yeah.
Yeah? A little bit?
I'm just waiting for the chat room. I am. I think it's cool.
I'm very excited. I love it's going to take some getting used to, and I know it's got Bing on it. Get over that. Bing's there. We'll get rid of it. That's fine. It's something different. We got some specs on it this week, so I'm getting a little more excited about it. But we're seeing now it's going to be November 11th. It'll be available. So 3 days later, we now know, you know, exact specs. It's got a 3.4 inch Super AMOLED screen. And that's about what we figured it was, I think, back from when I played with it. What else? Not too much out of the ordinary other than that, I think. Headphone jack, blah, blah, blah. Hotspot. No, really just the size of the screen. But be available on the 11th. And price is going to be, what was price going to be? $200?
I'm sure it's 200.
Yeah,
I want to talk about Bing for just a second.
Yes.
So I realized something this week. I've got the Fascinate here, which, by the way, if you're looking for a high-end Android phone on Verizon, nice, very nice. I didn't realize you had any device that didn't have the Droid branding gets mm-hmm. this Bing integration, right?
Right, right.
And how ridiculous is it? The level of it. That's what I didn't realize is I'm like, oh yeah, okay, there's a Bing icon. Oh, well, wait. Oh, I can't even do my search anywhere else unless I go to google.com through Bing. Oh, it's got little widgets for Bing. I mean, it's very, very clear how deep this integration goes, and that there was a lot of money paid by Microsoft to make Google go away from any of these non-Droid branded phones.
Yep. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Root your Fascinate, Mickey.
Yes.
Yeah, chat me up later on Google Talk, and I'll help you get it off there.
Corey, Jerry, and I spent a long Friday night figuring that all out about a month or so ago.
Man.
Yeah, it's too bad, but it's the way it is. And I understand why they made that deal, and I think it was a bad deal to make for a number of reasons. But, yeah. All right, the chat room's freaking out. They want to talk about the Nexus 2. Here's what we know about the Nexus 2 that we didn't know last week. No, it's still not official. We're still waiting on it. Something's coming. Most of the rumors you've heard out there are, well, I mean, let's put it this way. There's been a lot of stuff said out there. It's somewhere between 3.5 and 5-inch screen. It's got at least one core, as many as two. Could be 1.2 gigahertz speeds. You know, nobody knows what it is, right? And it still goes back to what we talked about last week, is why would they do something if they couldn't change the game again? And I don't think we talked about this last week. Jerry and I were, you know, just farting around trying to figure things out. And what if it's not a phone? Did we talk about this last week?
Nope. No. I mean, you and I talked about it the day after the podcast.
What if it's not a phone at all? What if it doesn't have a phone radio in it? What if they're trying to make a PMP?
That you can go to Walmart and buy.
I don't know about the Walmart stuff, but
okay, Best Buy.
What if they're making a high-end PMP?
I think that's a great idea.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not sure that's true. I don't have a rumor on that. I don't have a source. But you know, that's just throwing that out there.
So what made you come up with that? I mean, do you think that's something that would sell
probably
well?
The sixth or seventh beer? No, look, guys. All right, the chat room's freaking out. I know all of these other rumors out there. I know all of these Android insiders, right? We get the same. We all get the same anonymous emails. We just don't report them all. Yeah, it might be dual core. It might have a 10-inch screen. You know, whatever. You throw enough stuff against a wall, eventually some of it's going to stick, and you can say you were right. Whatever. My bigger question is, if they're doing it, why? You know, the hardware is going to be the hardware, right? I'm not sure we're going to see anything just groundbreaking there. I hope we do. You know, look at what Samsung did with the Continuum. That's something different. But the bigger question is, if Google is making its own phone again after they've already said they're not going to, why? What are they going to do that's different from the last time that didn't actually work?
Right. And yeah, that's where, you know, you get the answer to that question, and that pretty much is the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a piece of metal electronics and a screen until you do something with it.
Are we going to get gingerbread at the same time too? Probably, if it happens at all. I mean, gingerbread's going to happen. We know that, but the Nexus thing.
I think so.
We're still waiting.
I can't see a better way to announce it than the two of them together.
Right.
Nothing would surprise me with Google. I mean, they swore up and down that they weren't even going to build a phone.
Yep.
And of course they did.
Yeah.
Well, they spent the whole time telling us that they didn't really. It's not really the Google phone.
Yeah. So, I hope they do. I think it'd be a great thing. Yeah.
I love the Nexus One. I still think it's probably one of the top three or five phones released this year. Easily.
It's still being developed too, right? I mean, people are still.
You can still buy a brand new one.
Yeah. And the supposed gingerbread leaks that we've seen have all been on Nexus Ones. So that, you know, means we're going to be using this thing for at least another 4 or 5 months, probably, right?
Yeah.
Which is good because it's a lot of money.
I think they'll build another phone. I just don't think that they'll go through the whole model of just selling direct consumers. I think that's where the failure came in.
Exactly.
Someone has a great question for you, Phil.
Yes.
Give us your top five.
My top five. Evo, Droid X,
number
Nexus
one.
Is this
in order?
No apparent order. Evo, Droid X, Nexus One, Legend, and
come on, say the San Francisco.
Wildfire. I gotta make it only five now. I gotta say one.
What
of the
Galaxy S? You still love the Galaxy S?
Oh yeah, no. It's gotta be. But I wanted to say the LG Optimus Z too, because that was a very cool phone that nobody here has ever seen or used. So no, I'll say the Galaxy S phones because those are all excellent. So those are my top five.
You're the whole reason I got my Fascinate. You talked about that so much. I finally got one.
I shouldn't be.
I wasn't going
for doing anything. Oh man. All right. Let's move on and do some software. So we talked about the daylight savings time thing. You shouldn't have to do anything on Sunday when that rolls over, and that's good. Google has added a spot in the developer's little UI to finally list a change log. They're calling it recent changes. And then it just shows
thank
up
you.
In the app description. Oh, thank you, Google. What took so long? What the hell took so long? Now,
it drives me crazy when I go to update an app and I don't know what in the world it's being updated to do.
Yeah, developers just need to use it.
Yes.
The 8-pin keyboard. Has anybody tried this?
Oh my God, my head still hurts.
Yeah.
I watched the video today and I was like, I can never use this thing. I mean, it looks really complicated.
I tried the tutorial and it was pretty tough and I couldn't spell the word U. I could only get, I think, the Y and the O, and then another O. I couldn't get the U, and I gave up. It looks interesting. It's not the first keyboard. I forget the name of the other one that's kind of like this. I actually played with it a couple weeks ago. I already retrained my brain to swipe. I'm not sure I can do it again.
this is like an entirely new and different way of thinking about keyboards. I mean, it is completely different. I've never seen anything like it. I don't think I could adapt.
No, we're all too old.
Yep.
our kids will use the 8-pin keyboard, or maybe even the 9-pin.
I could see my little nephew probably pounding out sentences with it pretty quickly, but not me.
I don't understand where what lines up? What is normal?
Nothing.
Nothing about it.
You understand it just fine, Mickey.
I mean, I would understand it if it was, okay, in this quadrant here, you've got the, you know, all the keys, you know, like QWEASZX or something like that. But no, it's VCJMN. Great.
I love it. It's like halfway through the tutorial, the video, they have the letters laid out in a certain way. And then halfway through the tutorial, they say, we even mixed them all up. So it's different. It's like, what the? this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
it's cool. I'm glad that there's people out there developing new and different ways of doing things, but it's beyond me. I don't think I'm smart enough for it.
Let's talk about the Facebook stuff from, what was that, Wednesday. Everybody was kind of thinking they might announce a Facebook phone, and I went back and reread the TechCrunch article that first broke the news of broke the rumor of a Facebook phone. But going back and reading that again, they basically hedged it enough to say probably not yet, maybe sometime next year. Zuckerberg was pretty adamant, though, about, hey, you know, why would we make a phone, right? We need to be on all platforms. And that makes sense. That makes a whole lot of sense. So what they did announce is a revamped, I don't know, it doesn't feel all that different to me, but a new Android app. We have Places, we have Groups. So now you can check in on Facebook. And I tell you, the more I think about that, the more it makes sense. And alongside that, you have the Facebook deals. You can kind of do that like on Foursquare now. If you check in somewhere, you get free chips or whatever. So Facebook has a lot of people on board for that. I'm sure there will only be more. And then you also have the single sign-on thing. And that was Eric Tseng, who used to run Android, you know, 8 months ago. That was kind of his baby of this whole thing, is you have single sign-on. So you log into Facebook on your phone, and then you launch another app, and the first example they used was Zynga Poker. And then you have a login with Facebook button that shows up, and you just hit login, you're logged in. That's it. No more passwords, no more logging in, you know, just the one password to rule them all, basically. What do you guys think about that? On one hand, I think it's a great idea. On the other hand, why isn't Google doing that? Because we're already logged in with Google. Trust Facebook.
Yes.
Don't trust Facebook.
Nope. I totally agree.
Yep, I like what Google's doing for Google Apps with the Authenticator. Let's use that for Android applications. I just Facebook login to log into something else just doesn't sit real well with me.
I'm a little uncomfortable with Facebook lately. I mean, every website I go to, it's on. It's like they know where I'm going, what I'm doing. It uses the same ID for everything. I don't like that. It feels very, I don't know, it feels very invasive.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I don't mind having like a single login, but I don't even use OpenID because it's just kind of a pain. but there are things that I want to log into that I don't want Facebook to necessarily know that I log into.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's another question. I mean, has anybody really looked into it? You know, if I get Zynga Poker and download it on my phone and log in and I play a game, is it plastered all over Facebook? Jerry just played a pair of twos. You know, that's kind of important.
That's the idea. Yeah, that's what they're doing with it.
You dumbass, you should have folded.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people might not want that. I don't care. Well, you know, I work with Android Central. Basically, anything I do online, you all are going to find it anyway. I don't even try to hide it. But a lot of people do.
Well, no, I mean, that's not even that. I mean, I live pretty publicly, but there's a lot of stuff I still need private. And I just worry that, you know, routing everything through Facebook, I don't know what the hell they're doing with it. And they've, you know, shown in the past, you know, the prime example were those security options that you had that they turned on by default. And it was like, no. I mean, anyone in their right mind would never have done that. Yeah, they're saying in the chat room, you know, Facebook, do evil. They're kind of the antithesis of the Google motto, right?
Oy. Well, they make changes and they leave it up to you to opt out of them. It's not like they give you the choice. I don't like it.
Scares the crap.
And on the other hand, though, it's my wife, I'm like, okay, Terry, remind me. I got to help you look at your Facebook account and make sure you're not signed up for all this stuff. What difference does it make? That was her answer. What difference does it make? They have, you know, only people like us who pay attention to this even know it's going on.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, here's a good example. So TripIt, which is a site that you can use to, mm-hmm. you know, put your hotel itinerary and airplane itinerary, all that stuff on there. They give you the option of signing in with your Facebook ID. Right. So that's what I did. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. all my friends know exactly where I'm going when I'm coming home. And I didn't know that, you know, I'm just like, oh, okay, I can just use my Facebook ID to log in, but it's tied into this API that broadcasts everybody where you are and what you're doing. And I didn't necessarily want that. And they didn't even ask me.
Exactly. Not cool. Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see. I think it's good. I think the deals thing is interesting. I like the idea of checking in on Facebook versus something like Foursquare because there are already 500 million users. It makes sense. Doing it that way makes sense. But that said, I have a lot of, you know, friends who I'm not friends with on Facebook, but, you know, people I want to, you know, let know that, hey, I'm here or whatever. So I don't know. It's back and forth.
Yeah, everybody's using Play. It's like they go to the restroom and they check in on places. It's gotten kind of crazy. It's cool, but
yeah. The Android Twitter app was updated and it got a whole bunch of improvements. I mean, I tell you, I wasn't big on the official Twitter for Android app when it first came out, and I still don't use it. But that's only because I need multiple account support. It looks a whole lot better now. I'm almost kind of excited about it. Not quite.
Well, and it's good. They make you use it. It's included on all the new phones, and you can't take it off. So they might as well make it a little more useful. So that was good.
What else? We got a quick app review of the Power Amp app. Yeah, next to, I think, Winamp. This is probably my second favorite music app right now. Really, really good. OpenFaint has brought a whole bunch of new games to Android, and some of the names are new, some of them are not. But now you can share scores with your friends, play cross-platform, blah, blah, blah. Firefox Beta 2 just came out today, and it got a new UI, and I haven't played with it yet. I need to, but they reduced the size of it by 60%. They said they were going to do it. That was kind of the main complaint everybody had, right? And it's down to 17 megabytes instead of, what was it, 40-something, I think. So good on them. And you know, 6 months, we might have ourselves like a real viable browser here. I hope it didn't take that long, but it's taken them this long to get this far, so we'll see. Anybody else try it yet?
I put it on, looked at it for a second, but sure not tried it enough to see how much better it is.
I read the blog post. It looks like they've made some significant progress just in the last few weeks. It looks really nice.
And I like it because it's open source. I like how they develop it. It's been fun to watch.
And it's compliance standard. I want to write a blog post for Android Central from my Evo using Firefox 4. You know, maybe just a short one, but I'll be able to one day.
And Google Instant is now available if you're running Android 2.2 or up. Because there are a few people running Gingerbread. I know you're out there. Email me. But the thing is, you have to go to google.com to use it. And so that kind of just...
It's kind of hokey.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not going to google.com just to see, you know, whatever. No.
I foresee the widget where you start to type and it pops a bubble underneath with Google Instant in it. I can see that happening.
Gingerbread.
Hope so.
Email me. Whoever's got
Monorail.
Some quick OS news because we got a whole bunch of voicemails and emails I want to get to and we're going to go late. But screw it because we got good stuff. Froyo Nuclear is still on 70-something% of the phones. Those are ticking up. Google Maps got an update, was it last week? And then somebody at Android Spin was digging through it and changed their build prop file, which is the file that, like on your about screen, that's where all that comes from. It comes from the build prop file. So if you change the API level, it's all very nerdy stuff. You change it from 8 to 9, Froyo is 8, Gingerbread will be 9. Then suddenly things look a little different in Google Maps. So that was kind of interesting. That was a cool trick. I'm glad they found that. So that everybody's thinking, all right, so menus will all look different in Gingerbread. And cool. Yeah, not a huge deal, but an interesting one.
Real quick, the Google Maps update, all you people on the Evo that did not ever get the weather that you were supposed to see, I was one of them. I see it now. So you can take a look at your live wallpaper thingy again if you were looking for that and have never got to see it.
The G2 got an update that brings Wi-Fi calling, some bug fixes, tethering, right? Doesn't it bring tethering now too?
Yep.
And we've got manual update instructions if you don't want to wait for that. The MyTouch 4G already got an over-the-air update. It's been out for 24 hours now. Bunch of bug fixes, we understand. And the Galaxy S phones in the UK are getting Froyo. Hooray!
Nice.
Yep.
Finally. Now we just need them in the US.
We do.
It's taking
please.
You got to point your fingers at the carriers.
Yes.
If the carriers in the UK and in Singapore and Japan and China were able to get it pushed out now after it was released from headquarters, then Verizon and Sprint can do it too.
Shall we attempt some voicemails and emails?
Yes.
Holding my breath.
All right. Why don't we start with George?
Hi, this is George West, and I live in Belleville, Illinois. I'm using HTC Hero on Sprint. I'm calling because I'm thinking of getting another phone, and I really like the Evo. But the problem is Sprint doesn't always update everything. Any suggestions? Really looking forward to, you know, you guys rock. I mean, this is really a great show. Anyhow, keep going, and hope to hear something soon. Thanks a lot, guys. You have a great day. Bye.
It's really a great podcast because of all the editing. Don't let them fool you.
George.
Yeah, go for
If HTC makes an update that will fit on the Evo, Sprint will do everything they can to put it on the Evo. That's their bread and butter right now.
Sprint is
watch
actually,
TV, look at the commercials.
Sprint is actually one of the best carriers for releasing updates, actually, because they, you know, they test them, but they don't, you know, little things is
they don't make any
they don't test
when you guys agree to it. Seems like historically every single phone gets at least one update. After that, it's sort of, you know, you might see a few bug fixes here and there, but pretty much every phone gets at least one. It's just a matter of timing and how long it takes.
Right.
All right, let's move on and go to Jesse.
Yeah, hi, this is Jesse from Rogers, Arkansas. I'm running a Droid X stock on Android 2.2 on Verizon, of course, and I've got a question about the actual Gmail app. Prior to switching recently to Verizon and getting on the Droid X, I was on AT&T and was using a Samsung Captivate. The Gmail app worked flawlessly. When email came in, it would notify me. I had access to my folders and everything else as far as labels. One of the Verizon reps had let me use an original Motorola Droid for a while to see if I liked the actual coverage on Verizon and to kind of get used to that phone and see how it was working out. And I put my Gmail address and stuff into that. Again, the Gmail app worked flawlessly. I used the Droid 2 that they also let me play around with, and the Gmail app worked flawlessly. I was being notified of emails at the same time over Wi-Fi and 3G as I was with the Samsung Captivate. I went to the Droid X, and that's when I started having problems. For some reason, my Gmail app, it won't notify me when I get a new email. I know that there's an email there because when I open the app and go to the inbox, next to the actual Word inbox in parentheses, it'll tell me how many emails I have. Listen to you guys every week, and I appreciate all you do for us. Thanks a lot.
Jerry, you've got an answer for this, right?
Yes. We're going to go on the assumption that it's not, you know, a problem with the Droid X, because I see this on several phones sometimes. When you're bouncing around and you're logged in from more than one place at a time, there are some changes if you make them, especially on the web, that your phones don't pick up. At any one point in time, I can see that I have three or four emails that I don't have in my inbox. So I'll go to Gmail on the web, look in my spam folder, or look in, you know, some obscure label somewhere, and I'll find an unread message, open it, go back to my phone, and it's fixed. So while you were bouncing around phones like that, it's possible you made some changes that never really got uploaded, you know, maybe they were just trying to upload when you changed, but go on the web, look through all your labels and your folders, and I bet there's a very good chance you'll find anything there.
That's so weird.
Yep. I have to go through that maybe twice a month, you know, whenever I can't take it anymore, but I'm bouncing phones all around all the time. So I'm surprised you don't see it, Phil.
I only ever have problems. Not if I update a ROM, but if I restore from a NAND backup, an Android backup, then I have to go out and clear the cache and data on the Gmail app sometimes. Probably most of the time.
It could be the same kind of thing. You've got something sitting there in cache that the Gmail app's trying to do, and it just can't do it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I've never seen that either.
And on the other hand, it could be a Droid X issue. You know, everybody in the chat room was saying, that's Droid X fail. It does that. If that's the case, you know, that's something Motorola will have to.
Well, and Gmail's had issues this week, and it started with everybody on Droid X's, you know, but apparently it's more than just that. So, all right, let's move on to Lee.
Android Central Podcast, I have a question. Since I know Phil Nickerson owns a Motorola Droid X, have you noticed that the beta version that they came out with early this summer, it ran pretty good. You know, it had, you know, issues, but I seem to notice that since I updated to the official version, my phone's kind of starting to slow down a little bit, starting to crash, it's turning off and turning on. It's just acting weird. You know, I understand, you know, that's how phones are. They're going to be a little buggy, but, you know, I just want to see if I the only one that's experienced this issue or.
All right, so Jerry, what's the number one thing you would tell somebody to do if their phone starts slowing down on them?
Well, the first thing is reboot it.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say that, but maybe it's the BlackBerry in me. But rebooting it is going to kill out anything that might be run or stuck. If it does it all the time consistently, search the market for, you know, use the words like CPU load and find some sort of app or widget that'll tell you how much of a load is on your processor. And if it's constantly anything over 18 or 19%, you've got some software problems and the application should show you what's using, you know, a lot of your CPU. If it's something you can uninstall it and try it without it. If not, jump in the forums. You can't, if it's something that's baked into the ROM, it's not just you.
Could be a task killer. I'll just leave it at that.
All right, let's move on to Brian.
Hi, this is Brian in Mountain View. I'm calling for the Android Central podcast, and I heard the last podcast said I had a question and a quick tip. The question I have is do you think that the Android operating system is ever going to allow for reorganizing of the app drawer apps? I notice they're all alphabetical. When you start getting that list pretty long, it almost becomes useless to use the app drawer instead of just typing find a universal search result or something that you know you're looking for, or to create folders or icons on your pages. It really would be nice to be able to put some of your favorites up on the top of that app drawer, get to them real quickly. Enjoy the podcast. Thanks for listening, and have a good one.
TouchWiz, most of the TouchWizzes let you rearrange things. The Optimus.
Yeah, LG's new launcher.
Yeah, do the some of the third-party launchers let you do that? I don't think I've ever tried.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it apparently isn't too hard to code in, so let's hope we see it soon.
There you go. All right, one last one. This is from another Eric.
Hello, this is Eric Crouch from East Tennessee. Been listening to the latest podcast, and once again, they're talking about advanced task killer or task killers in general. I work at a Sprint store. I'm a tech there, and we tell folks just to turn those things off. Not just to turn them off, but to uninstall them, delete them, get them out of their head. Well, they're causing too much problems, and we're taking you guys' advice, you know, and getting rid of those things. They are probably our number one issue right now. People coming in with the typical task killer issues and deleting those things, uninstalling them, fixes them every time. And as far as East Tennessee goes, the Bristol Kingsport and Johnson City area go, as far east Tennessee as you can pretty much go, that's how it is. We're getting the message out. Thanks, guys, for all your help and all your advice and all your tech tips. We're passing it on to the masses. Have a good one. Bye.
Dude, we're starting a movement.
Yes. I know, it's like the Tea Party.
Yes.
Task killer.
Well, now, hold on there. But good for you, Eric.
Good man, Eric.
Go with God.
Thank you.
You guys want to do some emails now?
Sure.
Mickey hasn't had to say anything in like 10 minutes now. We should make Mickey say something.
I'll take Chris's email.
Okay.
Yeah, because Phil has to do the first one.
All right, I'll do the first one. Rebecca writes, please, please, please tell me that in Gingerbread they will put the silent option back on the side rocker, on the volume rocker. It's a huge pain to not be able to go from vibrate to silent without going into the sound options. Also, any news on whether or not Gingerbread won't screw up my phone entirely like Froyo did? I'm rocking the original Droid, which I had to replace due to Froyo causing my mic to stop working. Grrr. Love the podcast. All right. So here's, I kind of wrote a badly worded tip earlier this week. And on one hand, it absolutely works and makes sense. And for a lot of phones, it doesn't. So here's the deal. In stock Froyo, and remember, I'm using a Nexus One most of the time. In stock Froyo, they killed the option in the volume rocker to just volume down until you're silent. If you can hear it now, I'm volume down, and it's just vibrate. That's all you get. I forget which phone. Is it the Droid X or the Evo? If you can, you go all the way down, and then you go up one, then it goes to silent. It's a mess. I don't know why they did that, and it's killing me. So that's what we were talking about there. Right?
Right. I mean, you can dig in the settings, but it doesn't work like it did before.
Right. It absolutely doesn't.
They changed it.
Like, I want the option to either make it silent or make it, you know, so it vibrates. And then they have this vibrate always, vibrate sometimes, vibrate on days that end in Y. And it's a big pain in the ass. And I wish they hadn't done that. That's my point. That's what I'm getting at.
Yep. Just make
it. So this is a Froyo thing, not a phone specific thing?
No, actually, it's phone-specific, because then you had either the carriers or the manufacturers who went back and fixed it. The options, and I'm running CyanogenMod, so I'm not quite stock, but, you know, always, never, only in silent mode, only when not in silent mode. And then then you got the whole silent mode thing, and it's just a big pain. Just give me the option. Off, on,
yep.
In the volume.
Like it used to be.
Right.
Another thing I want to touch up.
I just added it back in CyanogenMod. Thank you. Didn't realize that was there. Thank you, chat room. I'm happy now. I'm good.
We don't want to let Rebecca believe that, you know, we're saying the original Droid is going to get Gingerbread to screw up her phone. I'm going to glance over that part.
Yeah.
That might not happen.
Willing to bet it doesn't.
You know, not officially. Let's put it that way.
Right.
You hit our forums about a week after it comes out and you'll be able to get it, but not from Google.
Exactly. All right, Mickey, you're up.
All right. This is from Chris. He says, at my office, I normally get the 4G signal and one bar, though on really dark, cloudy, rainy days, I get two bars and usually better speeds. I know FM signals are better on clear days, so this seems to be completely the opposite of what you would think. I've noticed this on 5 separate days now. Could it be that a WiMAX cell signal is transmitted better when the air is heavier and thicker on high humidity days? Or maybe it's just been a coincidence that Sprint has had better signal days when it rains, but 5 for 5 seems like more than a coincidence. I started to wonder if cities with high smog levels will actually benefit from this. All right, so there's a couple of things to this. First off, a very, very big caveat that FM signals are very susceptible to a lot of different types of interference. It can be everything from the atmospheric conditions of that day to weather, you know, such as rain or snow, or if different foliage on trees, if you've got, you know, summer versus winter, things can change significantly. In the WiMAX range, which is the 2.5 to 2.7 gigahertz range, you've got a very, let's call it, bouncy signal. So this is actually higher than satellite signals. It's higher than Wi-Fi signals. And it's more of a line of sight, but it will penetrate buildings.
Sorry.
What's that?
Higher megahertz, you mean? Higher frequency?
What did I say?
You just said higher.
You said higher.
What do you mean?
Remember, we're not real bright about this.
Okay, yes, it's a higher frequency.
Okay.
So just for sake of putting everything in line here. If you think about your radio in your car, that's from 88 to 108 megahertz. The cellular bands here in the U.S. are in the 800 megahertz and 1900 megahertz range. You get then into the 2.1 or 2100 megahertz range. That's for international 3G. Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, even microwave ovens transmit in the 2.4 or 2400 megahertz range, 2.4 gigahertz. The WiMAX bands are 2.5 to 2.7. So we're talking higher than everything else that's out there. That means the frequency is smaller. So from the top to the bottom of the frequency wave is a shorter distance. And it's, like I said, it's kind of bouncy. It bounces off of things. And so what I think is happening, and because it's a cellular network, these things are deployed in a way where you have a tower every, it depends on the metro area, but we'll just say a tower every half a mile. And so if you're in a building that has a window by it, there's a good chance that the signal, because it doesn't penetrate walls very well, is coming through your window. And you happen to be on, you know, the edge of the 4G service. When you get into a situation where it's raining, the clouds have come, are coming down quite a bit. And so that tower is transmitting the signal out, and it's potentially bouncing off of that lower cloud base. And you're essentially getting a more powerful signal because it's not just going off into the atmosphere. The clouds will keep it down. It sounds like science fiction, and it actually is a little bit. There's lots of studies and information, you know, actual, real life scenarios that go into, something called SCIP. And this is where you've got, high power antennas that will transmit a signal. And depending again on the atmospheric conditions, you can bounce radio signals across the world in some cases. It's pretty wild. There's a lot of it on the AM side where you could do all sorts of crazy things with AM radio. For those that actually listen to, you know, AM radio anymore, I mean, you think about sometimes in the middle of the night when, you know, the sun is not out and the atmosphere is different than during the day, you can hear radio stations from miles and miles away. And so it in fact states away in many cases. So on the amateur side, people, amateur radio like to try and play with things and talk to people in different countries. So it is possible, and there's times that you can do this. And so obviously on the cellular side, the power output of the towers and the handsets is very, very low, especially the handsets, but the towers are not transmitting at, you know, 100,000 watts. I mean, they're transmitting at levels that are going to cover the area that's immediately surrounding them, but then you have to realize there's another tower a half a mile or a mile away that has to cover that area. And so they want some overlap, but they don't want all these signals blasting around and so your phone gets confused. So yes. That's kind of the, again, it doesn't really answer the question, but I hopefully have given you enough information just to think about that. The fact that there are, there's a lot of different factors that could go into this, and it's not just as simple as, the air is heavier, though that could be another factor as well, that it's causing it to, you know, to work a little bit different.
Well, I tell you what, we can chuckle. I loved it. Mickey, I'm going to ask you, can you write us a blog post on that? People in the chat room are asking for it, and I'm dead serious. Quit laughing. I mean, this kind of stuff's right up my alley, and can you write us something up?
It's important stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
because,
of course.
Yeah, I love to learn this. You know what? I kind of thought what you were going to say, you know, that's kind of what I thought. But to hear you tell it, you know, yes, that it is. That's how it works. And this is why I love that kind of stuff. So I wish you could tell us more about it. That's why I'm asking you if maybe you can write us a little blog post.
I think we can work something out.
Post show.
I think
we can work.
Yeah.
Who's next?
I think I am.
Go for it.
So this is from John. I'm on the Droid X. I'm a guy who always wants the newest ROM, so I switched it like 4 times in the past week. I wanted to know if there's a way to keep your game app data when switching between the ROMs. I've gotten almost all the stars on Angry Birds and don't want to lose them again. So I think if you use Titanium Backup, you can save that data. Mm-hmm. I think you do need to be careful when you're switching between different ROMs on what you back up and what you restore. But I think if you back up specific application data and use Titanium to restore that data, I think you'll be fine.
Isn't Froyo supposed to do this out of the box?
Not this kind of data.
No, okay.
No, I mean like logins and wireless, you know, network names and stuff, but
okay.
But not application, you know, saved game scores on Angry Birds just didn't make the cut.
Gotcha. It should have.
I agree. You can do it on the other platform, but you have to plug in. So we should figure out a way to do it on ours.
All right, Jerry, you're up.
Tom from England writes, I run a GSM Desire rooted running Leedroid 2.2e with some great themes and tweaks. I get very jealous of all the cool CDMA-only US phones you enjoy, cough, like the Droid Incredible cough. Are there any Europhones you get jealous of, or anything to do with mobile phones and Android here in Europe in general? HTC legend.
Yes, absolutely. Well, not just Europe, but Canada got it.
Yeah, everybody got it but Jerry.
Yeah.
So,
and Dieter, I know Dieter was missing that one too. That was a great phone. I love that phone. I don't love the screen res, actually. I take it back.
Ah, I'll deal with it. I just like the way it felt, looked, built.
Felt awesome. Yes. Yes, seriously, chat room. Legend. It was a great phone.
Anybody that's saying that has never used one, I guarantee it.
Yep, legend.
Screaming fast and feels
legend!
Good.
Legend! I liked it. Finally, Cameron writes, I got a MyTouch 3D slide, feel free to laugh, and recently I scratched the screen. I want to know what my options are in regards to fixing it. For example, I don't want to wait on T-Mobile to send me a replacement. I need this phone for work. Is there any way I can fix what looks like this plastic cover on the screen itself, or is the screen actually damaged and in need of a replacement?
That phone's less than a year old.
Yeah. I've never cracked a phone.
I'm pretty OCD about scratches, and I've tried some of the third-party products like Apple, what is it called? Like Apple Scratch or something like that. Apple Polish, and it doesn't really do anything. I don't think there's much you can do for those.
Well, I mean, it's easy to change it.
Yeah, is it?
It's a piece of cake, but if it's less than a year old, don't crack it open. Take on your lunch break, stop by the T-Mobile store and say, hey, scratched, replace. You know, it's worth a try.
Yeah. Scratches are scratches. They're permanent.
Or we could help you break the bootloader.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of ways you could make it a warranty thing. But you got to try. A lot of people would help you with it.
Stick it in the microwave for 1 second.
We are not advocating doing anything bad to your phone, but we understand that sometimes things happen.
Yeah. And if that doesn't work, lots of places sell parts. Just shoot an email to somebody here at the site. We can point you to the right place where you can buy the part and even show you the teardowns.
And on that bit of hooliganism. Oh, yeah, we're not done. So can we announce a Google TV winner, Logitech review winner?
I think you better.
Oh, so, you know, we didn't talk about the review. It actually got an update this week. And it fixed kind of my big problem. I'm still working on the review, but it actually fixed my big problem, which was the frame rate issue, right? And it's just about perfect now. So I'm very happy to report that. I really didn't want to give away something that, you know, just kind of sucked, right?
Cool.
It's much, much better now. So I still got to decide if it like fits into my living room workflow, but I like it a lot more. All right, chat room, calm down. Jeez, we'll give it away. In fact, I already alerted the winner earlier, though I haven't heard back. And the winner is Charlie Brown 1187. So if you're listening, cool. Congrats. If you're not listening, get back to me or we'll have to give it away to somebody else. That would be a bummer. And also, we're giving away a Galaxy Tab. We'll have a link in the show notes. But if you guys haven't seen, we've got a contest going on with Waze. Waze is the location-based driving app. And you basically drive around your town and their little... I keep picturing Death Race 2000 as I think about this, but there are little images you'll see in the app and tells you where to go, and you have to drive over them, and whoever does the most, and it's a cross-site thing, we'll put up in the blog again tomorrow. It's a cross-site thing, so we're competing against Crackberry and Tippy, and so we need to win. We need to give away Galaxy Tab, so go to the show notes and hit that up and definitely do it. So that's it, I think. Pretty good podcast. What do you think? About an 8 or 9 out of 10? No, it's about a 12. We're the world's greatest Android podcast. Who am I kidding? Right? Anybody?
So I see a 14.
All right, that's better.
29.
I appreciate that. Mickey, take us home.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to podcast@androidcentral.com or leave us a voicemail at 888-468-6158 and hit extension 222. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can follow the site at Android Central. Phil is at Phil Nickinson. I am at @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is at GBHIL. And Corey is at CoryStreeter. Corey Streeter. The entire site and the podcast brought to you by the Android Central Store, found at store.androidcentral.com. You can also place your order by calling 888-468-6158.
Stick a fork in it. We're done. Oh my god, that was scary as hell. Never do that again.
It's like a call is coming from inside the house.
I saw that movie. Stop.
That's it, everybody. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week, next Thursday night, live. For those of you joining us for the first time, thank you. It's a ride, I know. It's a trip. But thanks for coming on it with us. Jerry, Mickey, Corey, thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Phil. Thanks, everyone.
See everybody next week.
This is Mike Swanson, and I don't know what to say.